Captain Hood on ESPN 1000.
He'll run it. Howard, left side. Howard, goes there! Touchdown!
That's back.
Drive, step back in the air.
Oh, heavy step back and kiss myself. Big time plays make big time plays.
Woo! Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
From your hood to Jay Hood.
Can't wait.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000. With open phone lines, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Snapchat, snapjhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back, guaranteed. We will hear from Ryan Harris, color analyst for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. We'll get his thoughts about the Irish in their victory against Michigan. Also, I got your Bulls information. I got some NBA for you. I've had tucked away here in the folder. Couldn't get to it yesterday because we were all doing our Mac thing. Of course, we're talking about Khalil Mack.
Let them learn a little about you right now. What's the Mac attack all about?
Oh, domination.
And Jeff Joniak melted right there. That's all he needed right there. Uh-oh, touchdown Bears. Yeah, he just melted right there in a pool. Like, domination, yep, that's all we need. So we'll hear from Ryan Harris about the Fighting Irish in just a moment here on ESPN 1000. I saw Aaron Lemming, what his thoughts about the Chicago Bears. Pro Football Focus, Felix, for this, Aaron Lemming, ESPN.com?
Windy City Gridiron.
Oh, for God.
Yeah.
Forgot. Windy City Gridiron. I like what he has here because he's got 17. Maybe I'm confusing him with Aaron Schatz from ESPN.
That is correct. Yes.
I beg your pardon. So it's not Aaron. It's not Aaron Schatz or Schatz.
Yeah. Nope.
It's Aaron Lemming from Windy City Gridiron. So he's pretty optimistic about the Bears for this upcoming season. And I can understand why someone would be. I mean, check this out. He's got 17 bold Chicago Bears predictions for the 2018 season. So what he has here is 17 bold predictions for the 2018 season. So the number one on his list is Mitch Trubisky. He will break Eric Kramer's single-season passing records mark, 38-38. Comparing to last year's numbers, they may look a little lofty, but keep in mind, this is not to the level of Jared Goff. So number one, Trubisky breaking Eric Kramer's single-season passing mark. Number two, Roquan Smith will win Defensive Player of the Year. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Roquan Smith. Number three, defensive lineman Roy Robertson-Harris will emerge as the best five technique, not named Akeem Hicks. Number four, the Bears will finish better than the 49ers. He says the constant comparison between the two teams isn't likely to go away anytime soon due to the Trubisky trade. But he thinks that for sure that the Bears will be better than the 49ers. Number five in this list, rookie receiver Anthony Miller will have more receiving yards than Taylor Gabriel. Really?
I mean, out of the realm of possibilities. We haven't even seen Taylor Gabriel yet.
He says projecting this offense just flat out fun. It is? Is it
potentially
fun?
Right?
I don't know.
It could be fun. It could also be so frustrating because this defense is good and then Trubisky's just missing dudes.
It would be fun if Chase Daniels was running the offense,
oh,
pal.
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, see, I guess he's a starter because I see more of him than Trubisky.
It's so true.
Can I tell you something? Now, there's more to this list, but I just want to point out this. Give me a little, Felix. Raise it up for me. And I can't tell you this. All right. So then, I tell you what, this offense better figure this thing out, man. Figure this thing out. Because Bears fans are so keyed in because Khalil Mack is with the Bears. So, Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel, it's great. But I don't know what those guys can do if someone can't get on the ball, Mr. Trubisky. It's looking at you, Mitch. It's all on you. Tariq Cohen will at least have 2,000 yards of all-purpose. All-purpose yards, 2,000 for him.
Wow. That's a lot. Kicker, I don't think so.
No. And I'm going to ask you which ones are most likely after this, right? Yep. So I'm going to give you 10. Kicker Cody Parkey will make at least 30 field goals and closely maintain his 86% career rate.
30 field goals.
These
are definitely bold.
Can I tell you something? Some of these question marks on here are like when I have a hangover Saturday mornings and I see you put up all these Murph and Fred questions on ESPN
yes,
1000.
Those polls, yes.
That's what I said.
One every 20 minutes, Jonathan.
That's what it reminds. Looking at this stuff reminds me of when I turn my phone on, I'm like, oh man, Eric's going at it. Yeah, there's a million poll questions here. Well, Cody Parkey. I have at least 30 field goals and closely maintains 86% rate. For the first time since 2012, the Bears will break even 3-3 in the NFC North. Make no mistake, the NFC North is going to be tough again in 2018 with the Bears are prime to finally break some ground in the division. 3-3 in the North. Don't see that either. 9, safety Eddie Jackson will lead the team in interceptions. Okay. The Bears, and number 10, the Bears will rank in the top 15 in yards and points. Some believe that this is a stretch of the Bears ranked 30th in yards and 29th in points in 2017. But when you look at the focus they've placed on that side of the ball, it may not be as lofty as some think. All right. Felix, get right here. Raise it up.
Hey.
So let me... Wait, put the phone down, Eric. Hold on a second. Put the phone down. Is he on the line now? Okay. I'll ask Felix then. Felix, out of all these things we mentioned, quarterback Mitch Trubisky will break Eric Kramer's single-season passing record mark of 38-38. I say no. You say?
No.
Roquan Smith will win Defensive Rookie of the Year. You say?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays, I think he has a very good shot at winning that.
Question mark right there. I've not said yes or no yet. I'll just have a question mark on that.
Okay.
For Meat and Cheese Week.
Fair.
Roy Robertson-Harris will emerge as the best 5 technique, not named Akeem Hicks. No.
No.
I say no. Number 4, the Bears will finish better than the 49ers.
Because of the Niners division, I say no compared to the Bears division.
I say no also. Rookie receiver Anthony Miller will have more receiving yards than Taylor Gabriel.
I think that's in play.
I say yes.
That's
yes.
in play.
Big yes.
Tariq Cohen will have 2,000 yards of all-purpose yards.
That'd be so fun to watch, but no.
Yeah, no.
It's going to take time. This is why I
don't... That's a lot. 2,000 all-purpose yards. He's not going to be that durable, I don't think.
This is what I don't like. Like, what that is, that's giving lofty expectations for a kid that still has to learn. And still, you know, so I would say no to that. Cody Parkey will make 30 field goals and closely maintain his 86% career rate. I say no.
No.
I don't like him.
It's a lot of kicks. I don't know about his percent. We haven't seen him kick accurately yet either.
First time since 2012, the Bears will break even in the NFC North. I say no.
That, if people are saying this team is a playoff team, a 9-win team, they damn well better go 3-3 in the division. Do I think they will? No, but people think that they're this playoff team, so they need to be 3-3 in the division to make the playoffs.
You're just not beating the Vikings this year.
No.
Sorry.
You have to sweep the Lions, basically, is what it comes to.
You know, so no. Eddie Jackson will lead the team in interceptions. That's in play.
That's in play, yep.
Kyle Fuller?
Yes.
Prince?
The one in play, but being in the middle of the field.
Kyle
playing center field, yep.
Prince? What about Mukamara?
He wants, what did he say? He wants to get 10 this year? Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And Bears offense will rank top 15 in yards and points.
Things would have to change. Like, we'd have to see a whole different Mitchell Trubisky for that to happen.
You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. So glad you're with us here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. We turn to a Super Bowl champion, color analyst for the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, a 10-year NFL veteran. It is Ryan Harris, and he's with us on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, the flagship home for Notre Dame. Ryan, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, no problem, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed the first broadcast with you and Paul Burmeister. Tell me, how'd you feel about it being up there?
Well, glad you enjoyed it. That's the point of it. I felt great. You know, it's always fun to humanize and educate people about the game they love. And anytime I can do that, specifically around the Irish and the unique breed of football players that we are and choosing to go to Notre Dame, I'm doing my job. And I just love coming back home to the place that really made me a man in many ways, not just in the football field, but as a father, as a husband, and as a Muslim.
What was the journey to get that position? Again, a brand new booth where you were working with Paul. What was the journey like getting to this position?
Yeah, well, it was, you know, a long and windy road. You know, I had to prove myself in the NFL for 10 years, and winning a championship definitely helped, and got selected by the NFL to go to their broadcasting boot camp and did that, and then went back to Notre Dame, and actually one of the guys who was the program director in Denver for the stadium board was now at Notre Dame. You remember last year was the first year of the big screen out there, and then so he directed all the programming there. We connected again in Notre Dame, and I did their digital postgame show last year. And with the JMI Legends partnership, I just said, hey, man, you know, I really enjoy telling the stories of these young guys and being a part of Notre Dame and the broadcasting. If there's an opportunity, let me know. And ended up getting a couple of calls, and that was the end of that, and showing up in the booth with Paul last Saturday.
Yeah, that was really fun. Again, you could hear every game of the Fighting Irish right here on ESPN 1000. Of course, Chicago's College Tailgate, our program, happens before the broadcast. That's going to happen again Saturday as Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, and I will be broadcasting 11 to 1:30 into Notre Dame and Ball State right here on ESPN 1000. I thought that Saturday's game for the Irish was very interesting, Ryan, because I didn't expect so many fireworks from the Irish offense so early. I just think that they took the wins out of the sails of the Michigan defense. How did you see the ebb and flow of that game for the Irish offensively?
Well, I can't say enough about how Coach Kelly has prepared this team for those moments. And he talked about how last year they often were reacting in those games. And we as Irish fans remember the Miami game and the Georgia loss that looked better and better as the week went on. And so he really worked to train these guys, some chaos theory, as he called it. So in the goal line period, they took out the football and told the offense to score with a soccer ball. And they took Drew Tranquil out of the defense the very next play and had the defense try and run their plays. And they've got guys prepared. And you talked about, the guys talked after the win about 92 workouts they had and putting in that work. And what you saw was a stronger Khalid Kareem. What you saw was a stronger Drew Tranquil. And you saw a more experienced Brendan Wimbush. I mean, I've liked him since he was a freshman at Notre Dame. Quick release, really has some depth to the ball. And he talked about, he said, Ryan, my experience last year has taught me so much to take what the defense gives me, to look at the pre-snap reads, but also my ability to run the football. And Coach Kelly called him the best runner on the team, and he showed that. So, I mean, it's just, it wasn't unexpected for me because I've been so close to the program the last couple months, but it was so fun to see because you never really know how those Michigan games are going to go. And Coach Kelly and I talked about that. They've been lopsided at times, and I think it was a 9-6 win another. So, but this was a game that everybody was waiting for, and most notably the Irish who played on the field.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on the weapons that Wimbush has? Of course, with his legs and the ability to run the way he did, he really opened up the offense by himself. But, of course, he has others to be able to connect with. What do you think of the weapons for Notre Dame in this game?
Well, you mentioned it, and Brandon Wimbush is his own best weapon, number one. I mean, I played with Tim Tebow. One of the things when you have a mobile quarterback, we can have some quarterback-designed runs, is you really add a 12th member to the field as an offense. We also look at Miles Boykin, a guy who's all of 6'4", really has turned the switch on since his LSU 55-yard touchdown reception. I mean, and so he's performing at a higher level. Alizé Mack talked about how his performance and preparation last year weren't up to par and how he's looking for a great year. You saw he had a 26-yard catch to start the game last week. But I look at Chris Finck as well. Chris Finck is one of the best route runners as a collegiate athlete that I have seen in over a decade. And we have Deshaun Hamilton here at the Denver Broncos who's shown some of that route running ability. But Chris Finck, I mean, you saw him just steal Moss, that defender there for the Michigan Wolverines, grabbing the football literally off of his helmet saying, this is mine. So I love those weapons at receiver for him. And I love the mindset of this team. And then you also saw Jafar Armstrong. I mean, his second carry of his career was for a touchdown. So he has the workload that he can do. And, of course, they'll get Dexter Fowler back in a few weeks. So you like everything that's around Brandon Wimbush, and especially that offensive line led by Sam Mustipher.
Ryan, when your name is Alize Mack, isn't the world your oyster?
I'm telling you. I mean, he's got – you know, I was talking to one of the scouts, and that was the first name that came up.
Right.
Tell me about Alize Mack. And the thing there is there's so much talent and ability. I mean, he's, you know, another scout telling me he is where the league is going in terms of a tight end. You know, you look and think about like the Zach Ertz type, the Travis Kelce types. They're really just big receivers, you know what I mean, who are just too big to go out there and not as fast to run those kind of post routes that'll get a cornerback lost. But Alize Mack's got the size, the hands, saw him make a one-handed grab. And he's continuing to work. You know, one of the practices I was at, Coach Kelly, Alize Mack had a touchdown catch that was ripped away at the last minute by a defender for the Irish. And Coach Kelly, you know, as everybody went to the next drill, walked over to him and explained to him how much power he has. And I think as a human being, you got to remember, this is a young black man. How often are we as young black men told to be strong and to take something from someone and to use your strength? That's a skill that has to be learned and developed. And Coach Kelly's created an environment for that to develop, and Alize Mack is looking to really make that skill his own.
Why didn't I think of that for a radio name? I could have got many more jobs with that name, Alize Mack. That's pretty cool. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, right. I want to meet his parents and ask, tell me where Alize came from, for real. I want to know. Some of us, we remember from back in the day.
Ryan Harris with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So when we look at the Ball State game, again, you can't sleep because you got to continue to move forward. Sure, there was a lot of emphasis on this Notre Dame-Michigan game, but Ryan, it's Ball State coming up. Anything that stands out, I mean, that Notre Dame has to do to continue their momentum?
Well, Jerry Tillery said after the game against Michigan, hey, we're ascending. So I'm going to look for some more turnovers by that defense, by the Notre Dame. Specifically, Julian Love didn't kind of get that opportunity we were looking for. Some amazing tackles from Julian Love. Great cornerback play, but not the interceptions. He had three last year, two for a touchdown, as we all expect. So I look for that. I look for more sacks from Khalid Kareem. He's a guy who jumped out at me at practice right away. Mike Elko saying he's had a terrific camp, with Coach Kelly saying that as well. He's gotten stronger. You saw the impact of his finish. So I'm looking for the defense to really, really dominate. And another thing you got to remember, Notre Dame's 6-0 against MAC conference opponents. Now, that's not saying that they're going to definitely beat, you know, Ball State, but I'm saying that there's some historical reference to think, hey, there's an opportunity. And if you look last year when they played Miami of Ohio, Coach Kelly really used this game for Brandon Wimbush to develop some of the skills and assets that he needs to work on for them to be a complete offense. So I'd expect some more downfield throws, maybe some more screens for the offense to get used to them, as well as some throws to different receivers who don't have the type of relationship that Brandon has with roommate Chris Finck and Brandon has with the guy he trusts in Miles Boykin and the speed of Chase Claypool.
Based on the roster composition for Notre Dame and the schedule, that you, again, you know how you guys are, Ryan. The athletes are always looking at one game at a time. We also look at this as well, one step at a time, one quarter at a time. But based on the roster composition and the schedule, how likely is it for Notre Dame to really have a solid season? Again, there's some certain games I've checked off that I'm looking forward to even more than others. But how do you see the season versus the roster?
I mean, it's tough to not, you know, it's tough to say because you don't want to be a homer, but this could be the year. I really think this is the year. They have things going. They have the offense, but they have a mentality, which is most important. And you know, as an athlete, I mean, you have to believe you're going to win and not just believe in your ability, but your team's ability. And that's why we won Super Bowl 50. We were the best team I had ever been on. Hell yeah, it helped to have Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, get a few sacks. Hell yeah, it helped having DeMarcus Ware on there and Peyton Manning at quarterback. And we were a team, though. And you look at the team mentality that this Irish have, and they've got it. And I'll tell you something, after watching that Florida State and Virginia Tech game, that Virginia Tech game, you talk about circling some, I, as a broadcaster, I'm saying, I'm glad I'm going to be there because that's going to be a rocking environment, and that might be the game that will end up sending Notre Dame after a Stanford win, hopefully, right into the top of the discussion for the college football playoff.
Ryan, lastly, is there any other games that stood out to you most in week one? I thought it was a very interesting week one. A couple of games in particular, like Washington-Auburn, I kind of have a feeling that because Washington lost, and again, they traveled 2,000 miles to get beat, and they did get beat, I think that it's a fait accompli now that the Pac-12 will not be part of the Final Four. I think all of it hedged on what Washington could do in that particular game. Obviously, the game that we watched and you covered with Michigan falling to Notre Dame stood out to me. I saw LSU with a boatload of points, which I did not expect, and they looked good at doing it too in the game against Miami. Any game stand out to you for week one that raised your eyebrow?
Well, Clemson, and I'll tell you why. One reason is that they got two quarterbacks, so I don't know if they've made a decision yet there. And you know, and you guys know, as being a part of a team, anytime you don't have a clear leader, there's a distorted message, and there's different unions, and players have to be put in an awkward place. So I really thought that was interesting from that standpoint. And you mentioned the Pac-12. I don't even consider it just that loss to Washington. I've had great teammates from Stanford and all the schools there on the Pac-12, but I'll tell you something. They got to prove it to the football world, especially in the Power 5 conferences, where really you look at it, you'd rather have another Big Ten team. You'd rather have another SEC team, because I don't think about just that Washington loss. I think it was, 7 years ago when Oregon was in the national championship against Ohio State and just got beat the brakes off of. And so I think that game, those kind of big stage games when the nation's watching, Pac-12 teams don't really show up. So I think you're right in that assessment that they're going to have to really have a substantial case if they think they're going to make it into the college football playoffs.
Looking forward to your broadcast. Again, Chicago's College Tailgate will be on 11 a.m., leading you right into your coverage of Notre Dame against Ball State, a 1:30 pregame right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. Ryan, a pleasure. I hope we can do this again.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Ryan Harris with us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, the color analyst for the Fighting Irish. Speaking of the Irish, Brian Kelly talked about what he thought that the Irish can learn from that game against Michigan.
What we learned is that we have to finish off an opponent. You know, we had opportunities to, to put Michigan in a very difficult position, and we did not. And so I think we learned a lot from that experience. We've got to, when we see an opportunity to put an opponent away, we've got to have a dominant mindset and be able to do that. I think we learned a lot about that. I think, what we can do better, from our standpoint, as we continue to grow the attention to detail and special teams. We have guys that are anxious and need to just continue to just focus on our process and relax and just have an attention to detail. There's, certainly a lot of really good players on that group, but the attention to detail is not where it needs to be. So we've got to be better there.
So thoughts there from Brian Kelly. He's happy now, and rightfully so, because that's a big game on Saturday. It could have went either way. I thought Michigan was going to win that game. I said before in our picks that we did, I thought that they were going to win, close game, and Notre Dame looked so comfortable offensively, really comfortable, and the defense came to play. And again, I don't know what the future holds for Michigan, but I will tell you this, Michigan is just, it just does not pass a smell test with me with Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if he's thinking about something down the road, but clearly, if this team underachieves like the other 3 years that he's been with the program, it's his fault. It just is. It doesn't matter if you are a Harbaugh fan or Michigan fan or not. Michigan, and I mentioned this on Saturday's show, there's always these big grandiose thoughts and beliefs that your team should be in the mix for the national championship. Nebraska fans have this feeling. Michigan fans have this feeling because in the past, they were juggernauts. They were great programs. But I look at this Michigan team, and if you think that just a December 28th, 29th bowl game is good enough, fine. But I know that Michigan fans want to be able to get them their program in a position to not only just win the Big Ten, not only just win the division, but be able to get to the Final Four. So, I mean, I remember, by the way, on Saturday, driving, getting through the toll road and on our way to South Bend on Saturday, there was a ton of Michigan fans. That's what made the traffic jam Saturday, because there was so many people with Michigan, Ohio license plates, and they were coming up. And then there was this one Auburn fan. He was in a pickup truck, of course, and he had an Auburn sticker on the back of his pickup. And I guess he saw my truck that I was driving, and of course it's got a Georgia license plate on it because I'm a Georgia fan. And I don't know if he was trying to run me over, but he got real close. It was an Ozark moment almost.
Pretty sure he was trying to run you off the road. That's just how the SEC works.
he got a little bit too close to my car and I'm just like, okay, well, just like Georgia, just like the Georgia, the program, I had to go faster than Auburn because the way we run the ball, I ran my car as fast as possible away from that pickup truck. That's college football, though. It really is. Like, the pageantry, like, everybody could see I was wearing a Georgia T-shirt to the thing, right? And, of course, my Georgia license plate. And it's like, uh-oh. He's mad because he's an Auburn fan and I'm a Georgia fan, so he wants to run me over. Come on now. Come on. I mean, Johnny, is that really fair? Is that really fair? Is that really fair, Johnny? Johnny.
Hello?
Is that really fair for him to do that to me, Johnny?
Hello?
That didn't go as planned.
Yep. Hello, Johnny.
Hello.
So I just think to me, I just love the idea. I just love the idea that someone's trying to get at me because I'm a Georgia fan and Auburn fan. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it, Johnny? Johnny?
Hello?
So, it's just, I mean, look, we're all adults, right? I mean, look, he's going to a game, I'm going to the game. Is that the point? Why would he do that? Is that even a point? Why should he try to run me over just because I'm a Georgia fan? We're all college football fans. I mean, right, Johnny? Johnny? Johnny.
Yeah, hello?
It's not a drop, I swear.
I mean, I'm trying to include him in the conversation. We're all in the conversation, right? But Johnny doesn't want to be part of the conversation. He just wants to say hello. Well, he called to say hello.
He came to say hello.
Yes.
On the air.
Hello, Johnny.
Hey.
All right, we got Jesse Rogers coming up and also some thoughts about the Chicago Bulls NBA conversation. I think you'll like this next.
From your hood to J-hood.
I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted. I attract clientele.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Hey, Johnny.
I'm not a Notre Dame fan, buddy.
All right.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood. It's the Cubs and the Brewers. Here's Jesse Rogers, who files a report. Jess?
All right, Jay Hood. Cubs up 6-2 in the seventh as the Brewers are batting. Jose Quintana still in this game. He's at about 104 pitches. Actually, Joe Maddon's going to the mound as we speak. Just a great effort because he was in several jams in this game trying to hold on to the lead, and he made big pitches every time he needed to, and that's something we don't always see out of Jose Quintana. He's getting a big hand from this Cubs partisan crowd as he walks off, and you can hear it in the background. So he's going to end up going 6 2/3. Just a gutty performance by Quintana. Like I said, getting out of several jams in this game. This game changed once again. It's Daniel Murphy. Just like on Sunday against Aaron Nola of the Phillies, the Cubs doing nothing for three innings. Murphy leads off the fourth with a home run. The Cubs score three more in that fourth inning. As I mentioned, Quintana gets out of one of his jams in the bottom of the inning, giving up a run there. But the Cubs score one in the fifth, one in the sixth as well. Murphy 3 for 4 with that homer. Ben Zobrist 2 for 3 with 2 RBIs. So the old guy is getting it done just like you do on the radio, Jay Hood. Schwarber, by the way, with a blast, 436 feet for a home run, his 25th. But he left the game. Looked like something happened on the swing. He trotted around the bases kind of gingerly, so we'll see what's up with him. Cubs in control as Jesse Chavez takes over. Love that first name. 6-2 in the seventh. Back to you.
All right, Jesse, thank you. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with me here on this wet Wednesday. Got a full show again tomorrow, 7 to 10, here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. And by the way, if it's Thursday, it'll be Throwback Thursday. We have not had, I'll leave it up to you, Eric and Felix, to come up with the topic for a Throwback Thursday. I've not come up with one yet.
I'll have one by the end of tonight.
Okay.
I'll think of one.
So Throwback Thursday, tomorrow in our 9 o'clock hour here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Plenty. What's on the show? What else is on the show tomorrow, Felix?
We will have Leroy Butler.
Oh, jeez.
And Ryan McGee.
Leroy Butler is going to be on the program. Former Packer.
Former here, Leroy, too, right? You said.
Yeah, yes. Also a former Leroy. Yes, he
got
is.
The apostrophe once he got a ring. That's what happens.
That's exactly what happened there. Okay, so. Trash talking Leroy Butler will be on the program, and good old boy Ryan McGee, who was supposed to be in the Goodyear blimp, whatever the sponsorship used to be. Here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing about marketing. I say the Goodyear blimp. It could have been sponsored by anybody, but that's what I remember. The blimp is always like
right. Any blimp to me is a Goodyear blimp in my mind. Basically,
what is the thing that you put on your finger when you cut your finger? It's a
Band-Aid.
But it's not really.
Right. What do you use when you want to blow your nose?
A Kleenex.
Exactly.
But not really.
Not a tissue.
Right. See? Uh-huh. See? That's the thing. You ain't seen it. See, Felix, you never thought of that before, right? Like, we're just called the brand name. Now, I don't even know what that blimp was sponsored by, but my point was going to be that Ryan McGee and the guy that looks
Marty
like...
Marty Smith.
I was going to say the guy that looks like Bleck.
Yeah, a little red to the hair, and it's
like,
Bleck. Yep.
Right, the guy looks like Bleck. Yes, so it's Ryan. It's a country Chris Bleck, Ryan McGee. They're supposed to be in the Goodyear blimp in I think Monday night's game, but because of the rain, they couldn't go up in the blimp. So he'll tell that story, I'm sure, tomorrow, and give his thoughts about storylines for week 2 of college football. Right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app with me on Under the Hood. Even though it's September 5th, there's always stories in the NBA. As a matter of fact, I will be doing an NBA show. Don't tell anybody. We are on NBA radio tomorrow with Tim Legler from 12 to 3 Central. Right here on Sirius XM NBA radio tomorrow. Felix will be listening because he will screenshot his car and he will say, hey, he'll say, I'm listening. And then I go, oh,
supporting.
No.
And he gets the receipts on it, too. So takes the picture so he knows.
Yes. So I'll be on tomorrow with Tim Legler. So one of the things I will talk to Tim about, and I'll tell you, because I love you guys, is the story about Luol Deng. Luol Deng, man, I'll wait until he's retired to tell some of these stories I know off the record about Luol Deng. But I will say that Luol Deng has found a way not to work but get paid a ton. So Felix hands me this from our friend Sham Sharania. Free agent Luol Deng will meet with the Minnesota Timberwolves within the next week as sides discuss a potential deal. Does he still know how to play basketball after sitting on his ass for the last couple of seasons with the Lakers?
Does he want to go up and down the court and practice with Tibbs yelling at him again? It ruined him once.
I will give him credit because Woj and Ramona had this on ESPN.com. Adrian Wojnarowski and, as Ryan Hollins calls her, Momo, Ramona Shelburne. Luol Deng agreed to a significant give back of a $7.5 million deal in his contract with his buyout with the Lakers, clearing $38 million of salary cap space for the 2019 free agency. The Lakers can now offer free agent star a maximum contract in July to partner with LeBron James. The Lakers are targeting the top players, of course, in 2019. Before I get to the Bulls, just point this out. So Luol Deng gives back $7.5 million.
That's ridiculous.
Wait a minute.
What did Magic Johnson tell you in that meeting? Like, you know what I mean?
I mean,
convince you to give back $7.5 million.
I think I'd only do that if Magic promised never to tweet again. That'd be the only time.
The stretch provision projects Deng to impact the Lakers salary cap at $4.99 million a year from 19 to 20 to 20 to 21. But the point is, Deng signed a four-year, $72 million contract, a free agency deal. And I know you guys can't remember my shows from 4 years ago, but I will tell you at the time, I said, why the Lakers signing Timothy Mozgov and Luol Deng to big deals if you're trying to reset? It's kind of like what the Bulls are doing now. Like, why are you signing big money if you're not really going for it? Anyway, so the Lakers benched Deng for all but one game this past season. But he made a ton, but he gave back $7.5 million of his contract in the buyout. Okay. And as I mentioned, as I was getting to, the Lakers have this two-year plan. The first plan was to get LeBron James. Don't worry about these one-year contracts with all these other guys. That's not important because it's not really about that. Like, the Lakers will make it interesting, but the Lakers are not going to be in the finals next year. They're not going to be probably not even in the semifinals. I mean, I see them one and out, if anything else. 50-plus wins, but that's about it. So, but they're looking at, clearly, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler. That's what they're looking forward to for free agency in 2019. But Luol Deng's going to help him out, though, because he gave back $7.5 million. Put on the poll at ESPN 1000. If you're Luol Deng, do you give back $7.5 million of your salary, even though you've only played one game with the Lakers last year?
Tim's going to hook him up with a one-year $7.5 million. You'll see.
Actually, you know what, Eric? Before you hit send on that, two options. One, put on the poll at ESPN 1000. What is more outrageous, or however you want to phrase that? Luol Deng may play with the Timberwolves, or him giving away $7.5 million to the Lakers? What's the more surprising story, I guess, between the two, right? The more surprising story, him wanting to go through that hell again with Thibodeau, or giving away $7.5 million. I would say that him giving back $7.5 million and when he really didn't play is not surprising. Him wanting to deal with this again with Thibodeau, I mean,
and I know he's one of the players that thanks Thibodeau for his career and what he became. But, like, he has no legs left because Thibodeau ran him ragged. And he's going to go back up there again and be in the middle of this young guy, Thibodeau guy locker room.
The Timber Bulls.
Yes.
Jonathan, you know what I also love? Our Bulls Buzz Open has every single player that's on the Timberwolves right now.
the dust off the old album.
So when the Timberwolves come to town, Bulls Buzz, baby. All their highlights are on.
If you have that, pull that out. I'd like to hear that just to dust it off and get ready for the season.
This is Bulls Buzz with Jonathan Hood on ESPN Chicago.
Everybody has the same goal. That's to win the championship.
Rose at the top. Rose the release. Three ball.
Going down for it.
Bam! Derrick Rose.
Good dish.
Gets to the right-handed dunk.
Two.
Three. Back to our guys. Noah Rose from the turn and dunk. Baseline left. What a pass by Joakim Noah.
to Derrick Rose off the screen. 83. Now it comes to McDermott, left side three. A big splash, Doug McDermott.
Bulls buzz.
Rose gives it up, left pocket, wide open jumper by Heinrich. Got it, count it, foul.
This is Bulls Buzz with Jonathan Hood. We talk Bulls basketball on Chicago's ESPN 1000. Going down
for it. Right in the face of Bismack Biyombo. All those Bulls on there, all those Timberwolves on there. Gosh, including Bismack Biyombo. So I saw this from Jeff Sherman at Golf Odds. Why do you write other odds when your handle is at Golf Odds? Anyway, so, and look this up, guys. Do you have this on Bovada? Do you see the Bulls win total? What does it say?
On Bovada and Westgate, it's at 30 right now.
30. That's what Jeff Sherman's has. That's 30 as well. It was 27.5 like 3 weeks ago, and now it's up to 30. I said to you when those numbers came out for 27.5 that the Bulls are not the second worst team in the East because I got to be right. I can't. And it's one of the few times, like I'm telling you right now, I got to be right about this because I told John Paxton on draft night, I'm like, no. You're going to the playoffs, right?
Let's slow the train down here a little bit. So
I know the fact that well, Pax, it's a weak Eastern Conference, and we see the landscape before us.
It may be much weaker in a couple weeks too.
Well, the train is getting past you.
Yeah,
that's not what you wanted. But look at the core that you have. Don't you think that's a top eight team that you're running?
Let's see. I never want to anoint young players to all of a sudden they're going to be something. This league is hard.
Dunn and Levine are veterans.
Yeah, they are. They're some of our most veterans. When you draft like
that. Yeah. On draft night, John Paxson, right? So 30 wins. So I'm looking at, I don't know if you had that in front of you, Eric, but I have, looking at this Jeff Sherman list, Atlanta, he asked for 24 wins, which I think that's fair because that's a terrible team. But then he has Boston at 59, Brooklyn at 32, Charlotte at 33.5, Chicago at 30, Cleveland at 30.5, Detroit at 38. There's no way the Pistons are not winning 38 games. That's not happening. They're not even a playoff team. Even with a new coaching staff, I don't know if that's 38 wins. But 30, I say over 30 wins.
I still say over. Yep. And obviously the money came in on that 27.5 to bring it up 2.5 games already with nothing else happening across the landscape.
Everybody's optimistic about the Bulls. I mean, Will Perdue's optimistic about the Bulls. Will, tell us this. What stood out most about the Bulls season for you this year? Will Perdue.
Recently married Will Perdue. Congrats to him.
Very, very good. Very nice, Will Perdue. A happy Will Perdue. I'm happy for him. But here's Kevin Pelton from ESPN.com. Friend of the program, Will Perdue, by the way. But here's for Kevin Pelton from ESPN.com. He goes through the grades. I don't know if you guys saw this earlier. Which NBA front offices won the summer? Hawks D-. Absolutely. That Trae Young deal is a... I'm just saying right now, they're going to wish that they didn't make that deal on draft night.
Almost seems like John Gruden is running the Atlanta Hawks right now.
Luka Doncic is going to be so good. But, you know, what do I know? Brooklyn A, Celtics C, Hornets F, Cavs C- among the teams he has here. Then we get to the Chicago Bulls. He gives the Bulls a D+. After the dust cleared on early days of free agency, the Bulls retained more cap space than any other team, putting them in a position to extract minimum or maximum value from teams looking to dump salary. Instead, Chicago chose to accelerate its rebuild by signing Jabari Parker to a 2-year, $40 million deal with a team option. Now Bulls fans are hoping to contend for a playoff spot. That's largely because Parker and Zach LaVine, whose 4-year, $78 million offer sheet from Sacramento was matched by Chicago, project as below average RPM, as he says here. In the long term, the Bulls' offseason would have been redeemed if Wendell Carter Jr. proves to be the steal of the draft, as he appeared to be in Vegas. As I've been saying, as Kevin Pelton wrote, if you just stood pat and just dealt with developing Wendell Carter and not deal with LaVine and not sign, even though Jabari Parker didn't seem like that's a big deal. But the point is, why even deal with a two-year, $40 million deal? Why even bother? That sounds like you're trying to accelerate the process. But to what end? That's the question.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood, you know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Full show tomorrow between 7 and 10 on this rainy Wednesday. It's amazing. People have been standing outside of our studio watching the Cubs game through the window in the rain. That's commitment. And we haven't even had that much commitment from Cub fans this year.
I haven't. They're lasting longer than Quintana lasts most of the time.
So that's impressive. This just coming in, and of course this show, as Adam Abdallah once produced a show many, many, many years ago, he coined the phrase, Jonathan Hood on the night show. Tomorrow's news tonight.
That's right.
So you'll hear about this tomorrow. From Gary Klein from the LA Times, Rams offered package for Khalil Mack, but Raiders believed the draft pick would be too low. Could you imagine? The Rams offense is a star-laden unit that features defensive linemen Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. Imagine if the Rams were to get Khalil Mack. Now, you'd have a great, not good, great defense. I mean, a wall defensively. But Kevin Demoff, the Rams executive vice president of football operations, said today that the Rams made inquiries with the Raiders about trading for Mack, the star outside linebacker who was dealt to the Bears. Demoff declined to specify what the Rams offered the Raiders for the 2016 NFL Defensive Player of the Year, who signed with the Bears. We offered a pretty aggressive package, and they came back and said, well, we just think that your pick's going to be too low.
That would be a terrifying front four.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. In that case, the offense wouldn't have time to rest.
Yeah, because, right, because they're going to be on the field in three plays every time.
Be three and out every time with those guys.
You think the Warriors are hated in the NBA? They would have so been hated in the NFL.
We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our thanks to you for listening. Our thanks to Jesse Rogers, Alex Brown, Ryan Harris, show produced by Eric and Felix on the other side of the glass. All right, don't forget tomorrow, 7 to 10, and don't forget the Under the Hood podcast with me, Jonathan Hood. Download it. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Tune in wherever you get your podcast. Look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. That's my podcast. Talk to you tomorrow. I go work like I played that earlier.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000.